Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Practicing Tomorrow with Manny Jalomsky, a part of our independent BTR Occupy Block. Today, Anita Stewart and I being Gwendolyn H. Berry, will be sitting in for Manny, who is a very busy editor at the Brooklyn-based Independent News. We're all getting to be pinch hitters, aren't we, Anita?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
We're
like ad hoc people. We have to be ready to go on the air at a moment's notice.
We're getting our share of whoop ass. Okay, let me introduce this list.
Standing in the dock in the Hamptons, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the match says, you've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're going to crucify me. Finally made the plane into Paris. Honeymooning down by the Seine. Peter Brown called to say, you can make it okay. You can get married in Gibraltar near Spain. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Throw from Paris to the Amsterdam Hilton.
Exactly. We are definitely in the midst of a huge change. I'm talking to more people every single day who aren't working, or they've been evicted, or they've had to move, or they've had to make drastic changes in their living situation because there's no work.
Yeah.
And,
It's going on very subtly in this country right now. Florida's one of those states where it is happening. There are other states, though, where things are picking up. There's jobs to be had. In fact, down here there's been some job push. But it, overall, when you take a look at what's going as far as austerity measures pushed by the conservatives of, you know, and they're all the one percenters of the European Union, if you will, just on the surface there, the first one that comes up. I mean, look what's going on with Greece.
After living there for 3 years in the early 80s, when it was really the economic place in Europe to be, everybody was working, Everybody had a place to live, cars, there was enough money. I mean, nobody even ate dinner at home. Everybody ate out in the late evenings. You would go into the middle of the town and everybody would be eating in the cafes, and everybody would be out till 11 eating and then clubbing until 2 in the morning. And it was really an amazing place at that time.
Well, and it was, you got to remember, too, Greece is like the Cayman Islands of Europe, man. That's where you can go and start your corporation and nobody can, you know, because Switzerland is getting very scrutinizing. But Greece has been the place to go to set up the dummy corporations and, you know, put money where you want it protected and that kind of thing. So there was, you know, that flood in during that time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I lived there for 3 years and had a marvelous time living there.
It's a wonderful place.
Oh yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have changed it for the world anyway. My experiences there, it was amazing, and there were many times when I wanted to go back, you know, and just like start a new life. But of course, life got in the way, so that never happened. But
well,
yeah,
right now the situation is desperate for people in Athens all the way out to, you know, you're probably better off in Greece right now if you're in small villages somewhere, preferably along the coastline. But yesterday, amidst all the Molotov cocktails being thrown in the streets of Athens and everything, and the tear gas being lobbed back, Anonymous hacked the Greek ministry website and demanded that the International Monetary Fund withdraw and threatened to wipe away all of citizen debts. Did you know that happened?
Oh, like a jubilee for everybody? Is that pretty much what they were discussing?
Yeah, to just wipe out all of the bank records there. Say, start new. Iceland did it. And a lot of people on the very left-hand side of the room are saying to the folks of Greece, you know, hey, don't let them do it. Step away from the European Union, the euro, and that banking. Go on your own and begin again. Iceland did it. Took them less than a year to actually get their feet back on the ground, and look at them now. They're starting to really build. So, and this is all within the scope of the dastardly bullshit pulled by banksters in England and this country.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yesterday the Anonymous group, which is, you know, folks have such a screwy idea of what Anonymous is. And this is how they pull these actions off, is because it's dedicated hacksters who are from the ages of 80-something down to 14 years old, who are, and there's hundreds of thousands of them. These are people online all over the world who are in our side of the political arena. You follow what I mean?
Right.
They get the paste bin. I get the email saying help us by, you know, throwing the attack by emailing incessantly one email strain on a site or whatever to bring it down. I mean, these are coordinated attacks that go out. I've never participated in what they call the DODD. These attacks that they do. But I certainly support it. I support Anonymous. You know, if the secret police come and take me away, you please will continue on without me. Yeah, I said.
Well, you
like
know, that's it with NDAA. We don't know who that would happen to or when that would happen. The law has been created to make that happen, and they can begin to enforce it at any time. So that's... that is not a good thing, and that is, as far as I'm concerned, it's anti-American, and I can't believe...
Unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional, definitely. Un-American, and And I would venture to say that the people that legislated that and made that into law are traitors to the Constitution in our United States.
I have no idea, but I'll tell you what, it's really pretty awful what they've gotten away with that. I picked up this piece that was talking about Anonymous hacking the Greek ministry website and demanding the IMF withdrawal and threatening to wipe away all citizen debts. They should hack into Bank of America. Jeez.
Exactly. I noticed that the changes didn't just, they're not just limited to Bank of America, because even my own bank here caused some problems, and I no longer bank with them. So there's quite a few that have changed their policies and made it very difficult for people to continue banking with them, especially if you had lost a job or, you know, the fees. That was the big thing. The fees, just if you made a mistake, even if it was on their end and it was their mistake. But what I experienced was a transaction that was slammed to my account. And then when I put it through disputes, the bank itself would not reinstate my money. They backed the company that took the money from me.
Oh, wow. Now, see,
so
I've actually had good luck on that end. And when I got hit with those extra charges or charges I was told that I would never get, I got angry and I got on the phone with them. And they backed it. They took them off, you know, any fee. Whatnot, and that was with Bank of America. That was, you know, and unfortunately, this is the anonymous thing with the Greek ministry and the Greek banking over there. This is a war that Greece, and I'm sub paraphrasing off of an article I pulled out. It's a war that Greece can't afford to join because it's a global computer hacking collective. And like I was saying, and this is not reading from the script, but this it's hundreds of thousands of people who know that what's going on right now is wrong, and they have the ability to sit back from whatever clamshell terminal or whatever and just throw these emails out. And then, of course, there's the closer to the core groups that know what they're doing as far as getting in there. And they did pull down, Anonymous did pull down the Greek ministry site. It went right down. It went offline. They called it Operation Greece. And they took the Ministry of Justice down. While the pretext for it all appears to have been the arrest of wrong people, it seems to have angered Anonymous to the point where they have left an extended message of demands on the Greek website, warning that unless IMF withdraws from the country and the government resigns, all Greek citizens will be wiped clean of debt. And they had one of those, you know, recorded messages that we know signature. Can you tell, Anita, when it's actually the close to the core group or when it's an outer fringe group that's kind of imitating and doing have you noticed the subtle differences in the videos?
Somewhat. I think when you're watching those videos and they get, I know there's an element of threat, but when the threat borders on, well, could I take that to be violent or not violent? That's a subtle difference right there, you know?
Yeah, Anonymous, the core group, has never threatened anything overtly violent that I'm aware of, ever. It's, and they've never threatened, the core group have had to go after collectives of anonymous people. They've had to go after them twice in the last year to tell, you know, that we are not supporting you in trying to shut down Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they shut down one of their biggest tools, you know?
Exactly. Have you seen the latest article? We are all Greeks now. It's on Truth Out.
Yes. I actually posted that in Journey with Roundtree 7. The anonymous, what they said was, it was really very frank in their video, and I
mm-hmm.
didn't record it in time to get on here. But it was pretty, you know, occupying the government of Greece 3 days. They're going to be voting for a bill that is going to be, as Anonymous puts it, the nail in the coffin of the Greek, a bill to return the country to a totalitarian rule, to bring the country and its people into absolute poverty. You know, this is disaster capitalism. This is Naomi Klein's shock doc all over it. This is what's going on. It's like NOLA after Katrina. I mean, take a look at the public school system down there. There is only one public school still left running. The rest have been made charter schools by the profiteers.
Wow.
You know, it's horrible. I mean, can you imagine, just imagine with everything that the Republicans, and there's a lot of Democrats, I guess I should just really say the government, right? The government in Texas, apparently the board is made of Texans that decide what the public school system of this country buys their textbooks for grade schools and high schools and middle schools. And a great many of them are in Texas. And
right.
They are looked after or overseen by boards that are elected and tell the publishers what to publish. It is not overseen by any academic framework. In other words, the Department of Education hasn't got the last word in this. And I'm sure you remember in the last couple of years we've read outrageous stories about the way they're changing, you know, the outcome and the meaning of the Confederacy and how slavery was handled in this country and everything else. I mean, they're rewriting history with a specifically conservative point of view, you know?
Right. Yeah, I've been watching that little bit about the textbooks in Texas. That's really, really scary. The deliberate dumbing down of the next, you know, upcoming generations. That's really, really frightening. But
then you take a look at a guy like Santorum and what he's been. Do you believe what? Has been. I mean, there was a piece in Talking Points memo today. What Santorum?
Just can't believe they're
saying.
Letting that guy talk.
Well, what's freaky to me is that he's getting so many ears to listen to him. You know, climate change. This is, of course, I'm paraphrasing again from Talking Points memo, but. Kapoor wrote that climate change denial has become the litmus test for modern Republicans, but Rick Santorum and his fondness for melding faith in government has become one of the precious few to cite the Bible as evidence that the science-accepting crowd has it all wrong, and apparently the first to bring that thinking to the presidential stage. Well, I believe that's a correct statement, don't you? Have you ever heard anybody? Even Rick Perry didn't go there.
Yeah, this is, well, I'm beginning to, I'm sure people are beginning to see the complete futility with the upcoming elections. I mean, these guys are buffoons.
Absolutely.
They're not to lead us. The only thing that they are corporate mouthpieces. They're just buying.
Yeah.
They're just buying for camera time, air time right now. But the one who's eventually going to be president is the one that's already been selected. So we don't know who that is yet. We will probably know pretty soon. And by selection, I don't mean nominated by the party. I mean the powers that be have selected the one who's going to be president.
I used to think, you know, long and hard before even accepting a statement like that. Now I think you are 50-50 right. And even more towards your end, you know, of being correct with that statement. I personally think they're happy with Obama. Who wouldn't be? Come on. Who in a corporation wouldn't be happy with Obama? He makes it look good. He makes it look good for, you know, the idea that there is some choice being made by the constituency and the population of this country. And yet, you know, as you are pointing out right now, there's no fucking choice.
No.
They've already predetermined by factoring in the money that it takes to purchase this. I mean, that's something that was on Keith Olbermann last night, the purchasability of a presidential candidate right now. There's a guy who's supporting Newt Gingrich in, am I saying that right? Gingrich, is that it, or is it Gingrich?
Yeah.
And he's a freaking gambler. He's a man now. Jeez. And he's purchasing Gingrich, and he's going on a national television and also like Santorum's backer. And he's saying, you know, hey, nothing wrong with purchase. If it's available option, I'm going to do it. So now they got instead of guys like Karl Rove and whoever Rove is filtering the money through, like the Koch brothers, now they got some real gangster material in their purchasing. Of course, there are a lot of Republicans who would say to you, you know, that hasn't been done since the 60s and late 50s by old Joe Kennedy, right?
Right. Well, you know, this situation with the elections has really got me because I'm torn between voting and not voting. We know that the elections are a farce, that they are already, like I said, the candidates selected, that all of this is just a huge, huge money-making histrionic scene. And the corporations vie for the attention of these so-called candidates, and the ones who really need to be heard, the ones who can offer opposing viewpoints, not just two of them, but many of them, are not heard, cannot get in the debates. And I'm just, you know, I'm thinking to myself, they're really, with all the election fraud, and it's not voter fraud, it's election fraud, with all the various laws that are different in every single state on voting, with the disenfranchisement, you know, of people at the polls, I don't think there's any point in voting.
If I did vote,
I'd vote for a third party candidate. I would never, ever vote for either of the two
control.
So.
I hear you very clearly. Well, I mean, to quote insanity here, quote, we are put on this earth as creatures of God to have dominion over the earth, to use it wisely and steward it wisely, but for our benefit, not for the earth's benefit. That was as good as it got out of Santorum yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I mean, or this month, I'm sorry. He went on to call climate change, quote, an absolute travesty of scientific research that was motivated by those who, in his inestimable opinion, saw this as an opportunity to create a panic and a crisis for government to be able to step in and even more greatly control life. I mean, the guy is unbalanced. he's using it as a set of tongs to pick up the election with, but he's very unbalanced, and he's setting the world in a greater chaos because there's a certain amount of people who are listening to him and putting some credence in it. When you say that the elections are just absolutely silly, boy, Anita, you hit it right on the head. You know, Rick Spezak was away doing a play for the legalization of marijuana up in your end of the state this last weekend, and his PR lady, Mickey, put on a panel, and you remember Luis, you've spoken with him, he on Rick's show, he is a trainer, if you will. He goes in and he helps. He's a, what you call it? You would know because you do this stuff. He puts the candidate into a room, sets him down, and tells him what he's going to need, and helps to train him into understanding how the elections work and what he has to do in order to get a campaign rolling. And there were four of us who asked questions or made comments afterwards. And I got to tell you, the most impressive thing, I listened to it and I understood it. I know that in your adult life you've worked for, is it Jill Stein?
Right. I had actually applied, you know, for the campaign, but I'm not working for anybody. I'm just kind of watching to see what happens.
You know, one of the best things Luis said, because I don't think that the way they put elections on works. I think the whole thing has to be renegotiated to on honesty and integrity with the constituency in order for it to work. I think that the 99%, the Occupy movement, all of us are working towards instituting that. So it was difficult for me to make too many comments because everybody was so plugged into the old game system on elections. You understand what I mean?
Right.
But what he did say that impressed the hell out of me was he said that the most important question that a candidate should answer and be answerable to with any one of his constituents or anyone who asks, and this is the question, why do you want to do this? Why do you want this job? And if you think about it, why do you want this job? How many candidates get asked their position on issues, but they never get asked too many questions that really poignantly say why they want, because it's all about making money. People who run for office these days are interested very, very upfront, not always completely about, and gosh knows there are plenty of candidates out there who have every good intention and integrity. I'm not saying they're all bastards, but I'm saying that in a large way, most people who do come to run for office anymore are about doing it for the money. It's a career move. It's not a choice to be of service to the community with a challenge to meet the goals of the community. Am I right?
Politics is local. Politics is definitely local. And in a lot of your local positions, well, for instance, I'm in one, the Soil and Water Conservation Board, but I don't get paid. So I don't have any ulterior motive, and people can't buy me for anything because I'm not paid. But the other thing about being in my position is I also have certain things that I cannot discuss, which I feel at times, you know, I'm in this office to do a job, but I'm not, number one, I'm not paid, and I have a gag order on. So that part of it I don't like.
All you can do is work politically to make a change there, and it's like putting your finger into the hole when the wall is crumbling down around you, I would think.
Yeah, and the only real way that we're going to get anything changed, the big changes don't happen at the local level. At the local level, you're concerned with your local constituency. The big changes and the really heavy duty legislation is created at state level. So, that's a whole different ball game running for state.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have this election coming up right now, and they've changed the map, as you well know, for districting in the state of Florida. And Alan West is no longer my representative. He's 8 feet out west, out in the western Broward County. But here, close to the water in West Palm Beach area and Lake Worth area, we have the ex-mayor of West Palm Beach, Lois Frankel, as the Democrat, who's going to run for this now open seat in District 22. And I've submitted questions to someone from her group invite her on to talk to her about the issues. Now, that for me is local because she will be my national congressional representative, in Washington, in the quagmire, but it's like I'd gone and done something awful, like giving her a bad tweet saying, buckle up, buttercup, I'm about to offend more people than usual, when I submitted my questions, because they're poignant. They're asking, on real issues, like, for instance, the war in the war they want, the conservatives of many parts of the world want with Iran. And today I was listening to Ms. Frankel on she went on the Nicole Sanders show. Do you know Nicole?
I've watched her show before. Yeah.
I like Nicole. I also realize, because you know what, when you get better known and you have the sponsorship and stuff, you have to go along a bit to get along. You know, people, that's what they do. We are not challenged with having to go along, get along. So our rules are different of engagement online. I like Nicole. I've watched her go after, Alan West. I've seen her go after a lot of people, but she's still, it seems like there's a bit in the mouth. Do you know what I mean? A bridle. But she was on today. She had Lois Frankel on, and I want to play part of this. Cool?
Oh, okay.
You're listening? Yeah. There's three parts to this.
To me, the protection of this safety net for our seniors is important.
This is Lois Frankel.
The deficit. Listen, I think all responsible Americans understand that that we have to find a responsible way to get our spending under control or get our deficit under control. But it has to be done in a balanced way. It should not be done in a way now with severe austerity, which I believe would cause, which not just me, but your most prominent economists in the country will tell you that. Severe austerity will not work right now and will only hurt a comeback in our economy. And so, a balanced approach, whether it's closing the tax loopholes or raising taxes on the people who can afford most to pay more taxes, with a responsible reduction in spending is approach that I would take. But I would not use Medicare and Social Security as pawns in this debate.
I appreciate that. And again, let me ask you this, because this is one of my things. We have Barack Obama, who is a Democratic president, I tend to choose, you know, I criticize him from the left. I am not thrilled with a lot of what he's done, with a lot of his inaction, with a lot of his stance. I mean, the latest is this war on medical marijuana when he should be going in the other direction. I'm wondering if Lois Franco, we've only got a couple minutes here, if there's something you really, you know, you don't believe in, are you going to fight from the left? Are you going to challenge him on things and not just go along with the party line?
Well, listen, you know, I'm going to answer this in two ways. Number one, anybody who knows me and knows me, I've been in public service long enough that I pretty much had a clear political identity, knows that I stand up for what I believe and for what I think is
right. She didn't answer the question, Anita.
I haven't hesitated to take on Republicans or Democrats when I think it's appropriate.
She's dissembled.
I do learn, though, listen, I'm a choose-your-battle kind of person. I just want you to know
choose
that. Because I do believe that if I'm going to represent, I need to be an effective representative of my district. On the other hand, I'll give you an example. When I was in the state legislature, I felt the minimum wage should be raised in Florida. Guess what? My own party, who was in the majority at the time, did not agree with me.
It goes on.
Lois Frankel is with us. Her website, loisfrankelforcongress.com. I'll have a link on my blog after the show at radioornot.com. You know, everything is sort of blown up on this front. And I had to talk with you about it because it seems like they're trying to take us back into the dark ages instead of moving forward. But there's so much else going on. And, in fact, I think this is taking precedence, is taking airtime, is taking attention away from this saber rattling against Iran. Can you tell us what you see, what's happening over there? I mean, the thing I see is the right trying to put us into another war.
Well, you know, I think most people, including myself, would agree that Iran is dangerous. They do not have the best interests of the United States at heart, and I think right now what you see is a way that the United States is trying to resolve the issues of the potential of a nuclear weapon.
She doesn't really understand what the issue is.
The sanctions,
you know?
And then negotiation.
Or she's afraid.
Where that's going to take us, I think nobody knows. I think everybody has a right to be concerned about Iran. And listen, I believe that the majority of Americans do not want to see another war, and want to see Iran back down without going into war. And I think we'll just leave it at that, and see how it's very complicated, and see.
It's too complicated for you to think about.
Lois, what else should we know about you? People who, first of all, who are down here.
And this is the
Lois Frankel. You know, I had the same reaction. A daughter of ISIS on Twitter lives in the district that Lois Frankel will now be running in. See, everything's changed. The Florida redistricting maps have come out, though nothing's finalized yet. What I do know is that I will no longer be living in the 22nd district. So I won't be voting for Lois Frankel or anybody else. Patrick Murphy, who was on the program last week, who is no longer running in the 22nd district because he decided to follow Alan West up to the, I think it's the new 18th district. I don't know, it's all confusing. But Lois Frankel now has a bunch of other challengers for what is now an open seat. Do I love everything she says? No. And what Daughter of ISIS said on Twitter is, really, no further query on the issue of war with Iran? She's running for a national leadership position. Gee, really? And you're right. I was a bit stunned by her lack of an answer on that subject. And we'll get back to that. But right now, Lois Frankel, you know.
So that's what had happened. And I was tweeting. I was saying, you got to be kidding me. You know, but, you know, I would have pushed it a couple of them, but you can't always push people. You just have to let their words and
their reactions, you know, stand for
themselves. Well, I want to know what her motive was to sugarcoat it. That I didn't get. You know what I'm saying?
Why
didn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's like, first of all, she's not very clear on the national and international issues. If I'm voting for somebody, you were talking all politics are local. I think, yes, of course, politics are local. But they're local with the state legislature and the city commissions and mayors and all of that. That's local. We still have a responsibility to elect our national leaders, and those issues are very paramount right now. And in that sense, Lois Frankel is representing local politics. So I want to know exactly what her stand is. I'm too left. I'm too Occupy. I'm too 99% for the standard Democrat-approved candidate, because that's who Lois Frankel is. She is the standard Democratic approved candidate. I'd still like to get her on the Sunday show and have her talk about it. Maybe she could clarify what you're very clearly asking. You know?
I have a problem, a real big problem with candidates who, you know, will not answer questions or will skate around certain issues.
Or they don't seem to have the information, or, you know.
They don't seem to have the information, or they flat out don't want to answer for whatever reason.
I'm going to tell you what I think. I think her reasoning was that there's a large Jewish community here, and it doesn't matter what her specific, you know, religious affiliations are or not. However, she is looking at a large Boynton Beach, you know, and West Palm Jewish, you know, affiliation, and many of her longtime backers, she was mayor of West Palm, are probably Jewish. And this is a large thing about the Palestinian and Israeli, you know, bridge here. I think that's the issue behind she mispronounces Iran, she says Iran, which, you know, I used to too. I'm not going to give her a hard time on that one. But if you're going to learn about the issues, you learn these things. You know, if you look for the truth, if you dig down deep, well, she hasn't got the staff that's providing it, from my point of view, or she herself is not interested in that. She's interested in something else. And that's not what the interest should be for a candidate who is going to go to that quagmire in Washington and represent me, you know?
Right. I had the opportunity to ask some questions of a candidate just recently, and the question that I asked, and I asked it three times several different ways on a forum, was, what is your take on mandatory vaccination programs for children and these being used as requirements to enter school? And I never got an answer.
Myself, I know that certain vaccinations are necessary these days, but then other vaccinations have been said to. And I don't think there's any concrete proof, but God knows what's going on anymore about.
Oh, there's plenty of proof. Again, people have to dig down deep. These are toxins that are being forced through vaccination programs, or even people that are just completely misinformed.
Well, I know
about
I
what
know
is mandatory. Like, for instance, here in Florida, you don't have to, it's not a requirement to inoculate your children with vaccinations. It's not a requirement if you have a religious waiver. But if you talk to 95% of the young mothers that you speak to will say their children need to be vaccinated before they can enter public school.
Yeah.
They don't even know
yeah.
the law. So
yeah, my kid sister's she's big on that one too, as is Asa. He's got an adopted son who goes to grade school in New York, a charter school. And there was a big question about vaccinations there. But what about measles? What about polio? I mean, are these
anything that they told you about the numbers is probably convoluted, because I can tell you right now, I had measles, chickenpox, mumps, and I ain't dead, you know. And a lot of us that had those diseases weren't dead, or, you know, weren't immobilized in any way. Those were childhood
uh-huh.
diseases that people got. Now, I did get the polio vaccine. It was given to me in a sugar cube, and I remember that was mandatory. We had to have it done at school. And,
yeah, my mom was part of March of Dimes, and she believed in that a great deal. But you know what? My mom was an Ike Republican, and she believed what her government told her. You know what I mean?
I don't believe what they tell me for my own research. Finding
yeah.
out that these things have mercury, and now they're even giving thalidomide, which is known to cause birth defects. They're given thalidomide as medicine for people, the prescription things. The thalidomide caused the thalidomide babies, if people remember. Women who took those drugs back in the 50s, and then they had children that had very severely deformed extremities, hands, feet, etc. So now they're using that as a medicine again, because they figure, you know, 50 years later, 60 years later, people don't remember that. You know, so I'm really concerned for the not only the pharmaceutical drugs, but what's going to happen in generations to come, because people are taking those drugs now. So, I want
really
those answers
important.
My candidates. I want those answers, and if they're flat out refusing to answer those questions, then
You kind of expect, but you would really be wildly surprised, to the positive or negative, but you would be surprised if a candidate did actually come up with, you know, an answer to that one. But the question of going to war again, that's really lousy for a candidate to step away from. If you ask me, I'm being, you know.
That's a question that should be easily answered for anybody in the so-called progressive community. And if they can't
right.
answer it, how progressive are they is my question, because
right.
you need to be answering that question. And it's just like the other one, the move to amend and the corporate personhood, Citizens United. If you can't answer that question and say that corporations are not people and money is not free speech, and you can't give me an answer on that direct question, then I'm not going to vote for you.
That's,
you know.
That's a good
so if you say, yes, I believe in corporate personhood and money is free speech, I'm not going to vote for you. But if you don't answer the question, I'm not going to vote for you either. Period.
I hear you. No, and it's encouraging people to get the information on the issues and to stay current, because people just are too tired and too scared. Anita, people are tired and scared anymore. They don't, you know.
And people, let's face it, people are worn out after the activism of the, you know, probably what, past 12 years, people are worn out.
Well, they really are. And the disappointment, the consistent role
of disappointment, and I roll, I mean like a barrel rolling downhill, the consistent disappointments from the Obama administration and the man himself has been just, it really broke your back as far as, well, it broke your back as far as hope and change, I think. He dares to put that one up, and I mean, you know, that's crap.
And people are also they're not bringing up the war. They're just flat out not bringing it up. That's not even like a campaign anything anymore.
Yeah, it's an MSM driving the messaging and the questioning there. You know, which is today that was all over the news that Marie Colvin, who was she worked for the London Daily News, was murdered.
Right. She was killed in the fighting in Syria. And
yeah.
There was a young man, too. Let me see if I can get his name real quick.
I got his name. He was a citizen journalist, what they call you and I, with what we do, the activism on the small scale of information gathering and, as you taught me, really, speaking truth to power. His name was Rami Al-Fayed,
right.
A journalist, a Syrian video blogger. He's the one who's been sending back images of the fierce military assaults in Homs. And, you know, I had a recording that you can actually find over at CNN. I didn't have time to upload it. Marie Colvin, her last broadcast was with Anderson Cooper, and it's really quite poignant. And, you know, she talks about watching a little baby boy lose his life in front of her eyes in an emergency room. And it's people just don't get it, do they?
No.
They don't get it.
They don't get that it's real. They don't get that it's real, that this is real, that it's happening to real people every day. They don't get
it. And they don't get that the folks who are members of the 99%, as they say, or all of us who are members of Occupy, we have not left the building. We're quite visibly here and up front and center. And there are actions going on just about every other day of the week still, important actions. They're just not being televised. They're just not being talked about in the mainstream news. Or, you know, the Huffington Post has an Occupy page to its political page or its political section. And basically, gotta tell you, it reports very little. I think somebody goes over and takes a look at whatever's been put up over on the Occupy Together site. But if you pay attention online to Occupy Wall Street, OWLS, and Occupy Oakland, they coordinate a lot of different from all over the country as well as Occupy Together. We're facing eviction down here.
Right. This is really a movement that I just don't want to see it phase out
I don't think so. I think very strongly. Wait till spring. Wait till May Day is going to be huge. I'm taking part. I know you will.
May Day is going to be huge. And yeah, the bigger things that I can get to, I'll be taking part in. I haven't been able to do that lately because I'm part of the 99%, and I'm unemployed, as many of our listeners probably are, and just people that we know. I heard about a couple of people just recently, acquaintances that just were evicted from their home, and you know, had to move in with a parent, and these are people in their, you know, late 30s, early 40s. So this is happening everywhere with everyone, and a couple of my friends, you know, that have jobs have kind of talked to me about how I should do this and how I should do that, and this is how I need to look for a job, and I get very frustrated, you know. I know how to look for a job. Nobody's hiring, I'm not going to get one.
There are jobs in certain places, but on the overall, the tendency doesn't look so great at this point. And it's an election year, so anything's bound to happen. We've only got a couple of minutes, and I did want to mention that I'd like to send out some healing love and light to our video blogger from Roundtree 7, Kevin Blanche. He's fighting leukemia, and he's doing a hell of a job of it. So I want to remember him to get well and to keep telling it like it is. You've seen his videos, haven't you?
I've seen his videos, yeah. He's a pretty amazing guy. Some people probably wouldn't like the way he words certain things, but, you know,
but
I like it.
He
tells it just like it is. He puts the truth out there, and if you don't like the way he presents it, too bad, and that's kind of his attitude, and I think that's okay. That's cool. So
I saw
some recent videos of him where he just didn't look good, so let's all, you know, send some really good vibes to him. And, you know.
Love and light and healing.
Yep.
I want to thank you, Anita, for joining me today. Thank you, Manny, for giving us your hour here. Hope you get a little less stressed, a little less, but he's doing a hell of a job up on the Independent in New York. Very wobbly-oriented publication. In fact, the guys who published that also published the Occupy Wall Street Journal. I want to remember to tell everyone that Anita Stewart has a show on Monday evenings called Wise Woman. I can't even remember the last. That's Wise Woman, Anita.
Yeah, Wise Women Media Radio Show, and
okay.
We have a special guest coming up on March 5th, Diane Nealon, who, if you look at the website hearus.us, she's an advocate for the homeless, but especially for the young homeless, the homeless children and infants, and she's
great.
Done some amazing work, so we're going to hear all about her work and her latest projects. So that should be a really, really good show, and I'll have more information on the February 27th, next Monday's show, really soon.
Okay, and tomorrow evening, I actually borrowed a guest from Anita. I was really fascinated by Flash's talk about working with animals. She's an animal intuitive and an author. Flash Silvermoon is going to come on and talk about healing animals and working with the flower essences on the consciousness shift tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then I'll be back on Friday afternoon. And mic check at 4 p.m. And if you're around, Anita, call in.
I will. If I don't have anything going on, I'll be there right with you. Okay?
Okay. All righty. I thank you for being with me. I'm going to play us off with a little ditty about candidates.
Oh, good.
Well, guys, it's all.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do. This guy says the horse can do. If he says the horse can do, can do, can do. I can pick him do. Valentine, because on the morning
thank you
line, the guy has got him
bigger
than
that
by tonight. But I get
effort,
he had to buy a half. But I need to do this here in the telegram.
Thank you. Just bring me in.
Fight. I hear his foot's all
and
right.
Remember the horse
can do. Last night, I know it's Valentine, the morning